Attention all shoppers. Attention all shoppers.
Shopping mall. I wouldn't care about the isolation. I'm unconcerned about the Walking Dead. It's the end of the world.
Okay, yes, howdy, folks. Widget Walls here, and playing catch up this weekend on the Heads Up, so we can hopefully get the 12th and the 19th done, and then we'll be ready for next week, which would be nice, wouldn't it? So thank you for bearing with us as we try to get all this crap taken care of. So let's launch right into it. Stuff that came out the 12th, the week of the 12th. First up, and I know we've mentioned this a few times, and we're going to mention it a few more times, but you know the rule around here about zombies. World War Z streeted on the 12th from Crown Publishing, and I've got actually a full review that I'm working on. If you have not snagged it and read it, you should do so, because Joyce has got the Gabfest reading group going to talk about it. So that will be good. And you know, zombies. I mean, what the hell else can I possibly say about it? So definitely check that out. And if you have not already gotten the Zombie Survival Manual, then you should get that as well. That, honestly, for anybody who digs zombies, digs horror, it's a great Christmas gift. So you should definitely check that out. So moving right along to stuff that comes on CDs. Norm Macdonald has got an album out, Ridiculous, which is actually not, at first when I got it from, and this is from the folks at Comedy Central, naturally, when I first received it, I thought, okay, you know, Norm doing stand-up. And Norm Macdonald, you know, what's funny is I didn't really like him on Saturday Night Live when he was there. It just, some... He's one of these comedians who I don't think you can stand on the fence about Norm Macdonald, because either you dig his stuff or you just don't get his stuff. And I honestly, for the longest time, did not get his stuff. And what finally tipped the scales for me was when, first of all, he got canned from Saturday Night Live. And then, I don't remember how long it was later. It wasn't very long. It was like maybe 18 months or something like that. I don't remember. But then they had him back to host it. And the way that he skewered the show, because everyone knows, and we've talked about here on the site and in various podcasts and such, how Saturday Night Live is a shadow of its former self. And not even a shadow. It's a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of its former self. It's just sad, you know. Belushi is somewhere just weeping over Saturday Night Live. If he even, you know, if his ghost actually gave a shit anymore, which I wouldn't if I were, you know, dead. What was I saying? Oh, yes. So Norm Macdonald was on Saturday Night Live hosting it and basically said that he was fired because he wasn't funny. So the fact that they brought him back to host it meant that the show must be so unfunny that that they could use his help to make it funnier. I'm paraphrasing poorly, of course, but the way that he just got on the show and raked him over the coals was great. And I thought, wow, I actually respect you. I may not think that you're funny all the time, but I actually respect you and what you do. So, yeah, anybody who skewers Saturday Night Live is a friend of mine. But anyway, it's sketch comedy mostly, and some bonus stand-up. Folks like Molly Shannon's on there, Will Ferrell's on there. So if you like Norm's stuff, or you like, you know, modern Saturday Night Live when they're funny, I guess, which, you know, it's going to be sad when they actually do, you know, they do those clip shows all the time, and I hate to rag on Saturday Night Live, but it's just so damn easy. When they do those clip shows of Saturday Night Live, funniest moments of, I want to see the funniest moments of the 90s of Saturday Night Live, you know, and it would be like that scene in Airplane where they hand out the, here's a pamphlet on famous Jewish sports legends. It's going to be exactly like that. It'll be like 10 minutes. It'll be a 35-cent download on iTunes. So anyway, so that's the Norm Macdonald album, and that's out from Comedy Central. Also out from Sanctuary, we've got Los Abandoned, which are, and they're bilingual, so I'm assuming that I don't have to say abandoned in the Spanish pronunciation, because I don't know how you would do that. I minored in Spanish, and that's probably my problem when it comes to the songs that are on here in Spanish, is that the part of my brain that was trained to understand Spanish, I got to the point in college where I was literally, I was thinking and speaking in two, I was speaking in one language, speaking in English, right? And then I would be translating automatically in my head to Spanish. So I was thinking in two languages. It was really freaky. It was kind of like Clint Eastwood in Firefox, but, you know, totally different. And my face, at the time at least, wasn't as wrinkled. So, but Los Abandoned, they're out of Los Angeles. And I, you know, it's some good stuff. Stalk You, I think, is my favorite song on the album, just because it's about a girl realizing that she's turned into a stalker and didn't mean to. And I just think it's funny when they're singing about never meant to turn into one of those people. Because who does, really? Haven't we all been stalkers in our time? Especially, you know, that guy from G.I. Joe. He's been stalker more than anyone. I'm really delirious today. I don't know what my problem is, but hopefully it's mildly entertaining. Or at least someone's writing a thesis about this for some psychology experiment. And Sony has re-released three Electric Light Orchestra albums. And, you know, I don't think you can say anything bad about Electric Light Orchestra. I mean, they were a product of their time. And the music, I thought, kicked ass, right? So, you know, as I said on the podcast that we did for the Witch Goes Off annual, back off of ELO, because ELO is awesome. Sorry, I can't help myself. But basically, they've re-released three albums. It's Face the Music, New World Record, and On the Third Day. And with all these re-releases, they're throwing bonus tracks on each of them. Like, for example, Face the Music is the album in which, you know, Evil Woman, you've got Strange Magic, stuff like that. They've got alternate mixes of four songs on here, including a different mix of Evil Woman, the single edit of Strange Magic. New World Record is the album that's got Telephone Line, Living Thing on there. This comes with, I believe we've got four bonus tracks on here as well, different mixes of stuff. Instrumental version of Telephone Line, if you would want to remix it, I don't know. Now, and lastly, On the Third Day is of course, a re-release. And it's for those who only know stuff like, well, the songs that I've been listing on the albums that have come out. I mean, let's face it, there are certain bands that you can deal with having the greatest hits for if you're not a fan of the band itself and just a fan of the songs, right? ELO, I think, is one of them, because their radio hits they're good and they still hold up now, in my opinion. But if you really want to get in and delve into ELO stuff, On the Third Day is a great place to do it, because I think In the Hall of the Mountain King is the song that that people are going to recognize off of this. People aren't quite as familiar with this album, so they should give it a listen, because it's very, very interesting. But if you really want to check out what they were about, then, you know, this third album is good for that. It comes with a previously unreleased track, a couple different takes of things, a couple mixes. And so all of those re-releases, ELO fans will be pleased. And, you know, you can't say anything bad about ELO. I'm sorry, you just can't. Okay, over to DVDs. Acorn Media's got a box set, Laurence Olivier Presents. And it's six plays starring Laurence Olivier. And, you know, the one on here that was really surprising that I didn't even realize until somebody here around the office picked it up and went, what? Is Olivier doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. So I have not, I will tell you, I mean, we just got this in, so I have not cracked this open yet, but that I've got to see. So that you got Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, you've got Harold Pinter's A Collection, and there's a bonus play on here, The Ebony Tower. And you can very quickly see, as you're looking at the back of this, I mean, acting with him, you've got Robert Wagner, there's Maureen Stapleton, Alan Bates, Malcolm McDowell, Carrie Fisher, and of course, Joan Plowright. So, you know, fans of the actor are going to want to check this out. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, this I've got to see. That's kind of frightening, but cool. So that's from Acorn Media. Over to Buena Vista for some titles. We've got Goal, The Dream Begins. It's about an immigrant from Los Angeles who winds up playing for Newcastle United. So for those of you who understand soccer or football, depending on what side of the pond you're on, then you might want to dig this. And sadly, for a lot of Americans, they'll go, what? So comes with an audio commentary, comes with a couple of featurettes, music video. Like most sports films, it's probably a rental. There's very few. there's very few sports films that I think are, oh my God, you have to go out and see this. Like, you know, the original Longest Yard, right? Like Wildcats, right? So definite rental on this one. Keeping on the soccer theme, they've also got The Miracle Match, came out on the 12th. Wes Bentley from American Beauty is in this, along with Patrick Stewart. So anything with Patrick Stewart has got to be worth watching at least once, right? But basically, soccer movie about a bunch of guys who are brought together as a team at the last minute, this is during the 50s, to go play the World Cup. So again, sports movies, normally worth a rental, and Patrick Stewart, can't lose with that. Disney's also got The Wild, which, like, you know, I'm not sure why all of a sudden there was this rash of... We were talking about this in one of the panels at Dragon Con, right? Why do movies that are a lot alike come out around the same time? There's a couple different reasons for that. And I'm not sure why, you know, you had like this. Animals escaping from a zoo, right? So it's like Madagascar and this. I don't know why. But anyway, so it's here. It's got the voices of Kiefer Sutherland, William Shatner, Eddie Izzard, and such. Comes with a commentary, deleted scenes, basically an Eddie Izzard blooper reel, which should be worth the price of admission. And that's it. So CG animals and, you know, it's for the kids. What can you say? Next, over to television, the second season of Grey's Anatomy, which apparently has a huge following, right? I don't watch television, so I don't know that much about it. But I do know that I like Sandra Oh, and I'm glad she's doing well. Between this and Sideways, she's pretty much set, so good for her. It comes with 27 episodes, and it's called Grey's Anatomy Uncut because there's four extended episodes. You got interviews, you got a set tour, you've got basically a Q&A with the actors, deleted scenes, special effects featurette. So if you like the show, then you're going to want to grab this because the features on here are copious. Okay, over from Fox, Black White is what happens when an Eddie Murphy comedy routine from Saturday Night Live becomes a series, basically. You take a white family and a black family and reverse their roles thanks to makeup. So black becomes white becomes black, obviously. And then they experience, I guess you would say, how the other half lives and talk about it. So, two-disc set with six episodes. It's documentary series. From what I can tell, they actually did this. Casting videos and a slideshow about how they did the makeup. And the daughter actually goes and joins an all-black poetry slam group. And so there's a featurette about that as well. They've got a 25th anniversary edition of Taps that's out. It's got a commentary from the director, a couple of featurettes. And what's funny is, and of course, I'm sure everyone's seen Taps, but you got Timothy Hutton and Sean Penn, George C. Scott, of course. And on the front here, it says Tom Cruise in his second film role, which, you know, we can only assume is, you know, part of a dwindling amount at this point since, you know, and it's a shame because I really like Tom Cruise as an actor. It's just a shame he's such a freak, right? But basically, it's what happens when the cadets at a military school decide that the military school is not going to get sold off and decide to make a stand for it. Okay, so for Paramount, we've got The Adventures of Chico and Wapo, and basically this is the first season. It's from the Orlando Jones Show, and Orlando Jones is a funny bastard, so that speaks volumes for this right now. So it's 16 shorts from the show, animated storyboards, director's cut version of one of the episodes, one of the shorts, sketches, scripts, and such. And basically, the simplest way to put it is, it's like Beavis and Butthead if they were Latino and they were watching TV shows instead of music videos. That's pretty much it. And they have their own stories that go on a lot like Beavis and Butthead did. And it's one of those MTV2 releases. So there you have that. I'm sure MTV, when they come out, they'll say, well, we really thought of it as a trilogy. Along those same lines, speaking of the original duo, Beavis and Butthead Do America, the feature film, has been released in a 10th anniversary edition. This is, of course, by Paramount. You've got commentary from Mike Judge and the animation director, making of, scoring featurette, and other bits. If you like Beavis and Butthead, then you probably need to grab this. I myself never understood Beavis and Butthead. Maybe I had already become too old, but, you know, what can I say? Put me out to pasture. But it's available for fans of the show. They should pick up the feature film as well. So, still sticking with television here, although not animated, we've got the first season of Diagnosis Murder, which, you know, I really like Dick Van Dyke, and I don't know how you cannot like Dick Van Dyke, but it's just really hard to... I wish I could find the back of this online so I could share it with you. I might scan it in. I don't know. But basically, it's a picture of Van Dyke, Scott Baio, okay, and I believe this is Barry Van Dyke over here to the side, looking very stern and serious, and I just want to crack up laughing my ass off, because I just can't take this seriously. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not only is it Dick Van Dyke, but it's Scott Baio, and it's the Scott Baio effect that takes it over the side, I would think. Anyway, you've got 19 episodes on here from season one, and this I did not know, a little bit of trivia, is the bonus episode is the episode of Jake and the Fat Man, who remembers that, right? Jake and the Fat Man, which introduced Dick Van Dyke's character. So, you know, who knew that Diagnosis Murder was a spinoff? I did not. Okay, from Paramount and Comedy Central, we've got the first season of Stella, which is from the guys who brought you The State. And, you know, that's one that I honestly would like to see on DVD, is a release of The State. Because I remember that, and that was good. That and, what was it, Exit 57? I remember. Both of those shows were actually good in the post Kids in the Hall, let's make a sketch comedy show thing. So you'll recognize these guys, and it's funny stuff. There's basically commentary on all 10 episodes here, naturally. Deleted scenes, and the guest stars are like Ed Norton, Sam Rockwell, Tim Blake Nelson, all good stuff. So if you haven't checked it out, it's worth a rental, and if you're a fan, you want to pick this up from Comedy Central and Paramount. Sticking with television, Universal has got the season 3 of Las Vegas uncut and uncensored. And I don't know, why does James Caan have facial hair? This just seems wrong to me. And it's not that it even looks bad with facial hair. It's just I don't know that I've ever seen him with facial hair. It's just really weird. I know that's kind of strange. But anyway, you get all 23 episodes. There's a gag reel and time-lapse photography of them building the new hotel. And guest stars like Dennis Rodman and Ron Jeremy. So how can you lose? Is there anyone who doesn't like Ron Jeremy? I swear to God. Anyway, if you're a fan of the show, you're going to want to snag this. Still with Universal, still with television, season 2 of The Office came out, which is performing a lot better than I think any of us thought it would. Most British imports, you know, are just sad. I mean, what was it? Wasn't it Coupling that had been crossed the Atlantic like a few times and then came over here and just sank? Which is crazy, because if you watch Coupling, I mean, it's a funny fucking show, but... Anyway, so you got all 22 episodes, deleted scenes, blooper reel. There's commentaries on some of the episodes. In fact, hang on, I'm trying to crack this open here. How many commentaries? I hate it when they don't list the number of commentaries, because then you don't know how much you're getting. It looks like 10. It looks like 10 commentaries. So that's all right. That's decent. There's parodies of the More You Know messages from off of NBC, which is good because those are ridiculous. Some webisodes from online, blooper reel and such, and it comes across 4 discs. So if you're a fan of the show, you're going to want to grab this. Warner Brothers has got the second season of Teen Titans, 13 episodes across 2 discs. And the interesting thing about this is that they've, for those who don't know, probably the most famous storyline in Teen Titans history is the Terra storyline. That's T-E-R-R-A. And she was a girl with basically the powers to manipulate Earth. Not the planet, but you know what I mean, like ground and stuff, dirt, right, basically, and very powerful. It was revealed that she was basically a plant by the Titans' nemesis, the Deathstroke, the Terminator, and hijinks ensued. It was an amazing storyline, but they're doing that version of it here in the animated show, which should prove interesting. So, like I said, 13 episodes, and you've got a catching up with the Teen Titans inside episode. Not inside episode, inside season 2 as the one feature. So if you got kids who are enjoying the series, you should pick this up from Warner Brothers. And last but not least, Weinstein Company is putting out through Genius Products Lucky Number 11, which nobody knew too much about, and it kind of disappeared. But, I mean, Christ, look at the cast. I mean, Josh Hartnett, who I've always liked, Morgan Freeman, Ben Kingsley, and I know Ben Kingsley, I mean... How many shitty movies has he been in recently, the poor guy? I mean, it's just really sad. But so anyway, but he's still good. We like him. I mean, Sneakers, come on. Lucy Liu, Stanley Tucci, and Bruce Willis. So it's got to be worth at least a rental. I mean, you don't... Morgan Freeman, at least, you know that he's going to be good even if the movie's crap. But basically, Josh finds himself in the midst of a war between two crime bosses, and everyone's trying to kill him, and there's guns. So, I mean, what more can you ask for? It's got a making of, it's got deleted scenes, alternate ending. It's got 2 commentaries. Josh Hartnett and Lucy Liu are on one, the director's on the other. the writers on the first one. I guess they thought the director needed a lot of room. I don't know. But anyway, with that cast, at least worth a rental. That's from the Weinstein Company. So there you go. Those are your titles that have streamed on the 12th. We got the 19th coming up, which I'll be recording here hopefully shortly, unless something falls on me. And then we'll go from there. And then we'll be ready. Thank God we'll be caught up, and then we can talk about the 26th stuff on the 26th. What a concept. So anyway, as always, please send your feedback to whichsucks@neatcoffee.com. That's much appreciated, and thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.
I'm thinking, maybe we got a good thing going in. Maybe we shouldn't be in such a hurry to leave.